Stand by. Free speech activation in progress.
It's sending a transmission of some kind.
This is TalkZone.com. Now, more of the Travelin' On Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
People free, escaping psychosis from the other.
And welcome back to the Traveling On Radio Show. I'm Ian Fitzpatrick, joined by my wife, Tanya Fitzpatrick. We just had a wonderful conversation with Charlie Cobb, the author of
On the Road to Freedom.
On the Road to Freedom. There you go. And we thank him for sharing that trip with us. We are now going to shift our focus to talk to two individuals who've taken that journey on the civil rights trail as well. A few years ago, Scott Hartley, an associate professor, social work professor at Elmes College in Massachusetts, took a trip to Mississippi to see the sites of the events in the late 50s and early 60s that Charlie spoke to of the civil rights movement. He wrote about his experiences in My Civil Rights Journey for the New Social Worker and developed a college course based on that journey that took him from New Orleans to Memphis one summer. Also, Christine Bischoff is a civil rights attorney who, having formerly worked at the NAACP and now a federal agency, took a journey along the civil rights trail as well, and she embarked on a road trip through the South with her mother to experience that history that's now in the forefront of everyone's consciousness today. Scott and Christine, welcome to Traveling On.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back, Christine, as well. Scott, your story is a very powerful one to me. In that story of taking this journey from New Orleans to Memphis and spending the significant time in Mississippi, you state that it was important for you to take that journey through the Deep South. Could you talk about why that was so important?
I think first of all, I've been teaching this course called Human Oppression. And one of the groups that I covered were the African Americans and the oppression of African Americans over time. And it's something that's always been on my mind since I was much younger. And I had talked to the students about it, and I showed a series called Eyes on the Prize, which was actual footage of what went on during the 50s and the 60s in the South during the Civil Rights Movement. And after I'd shown it for about, I guess, 4 or 5 years, I had it almost memorized. And I thought, you know, I want to see these places. I want to go to these places and see them. And that's kind of what led me to going to Mississippi.
Now, you visited both Meridian and Philadelphia, and I think also the city of Jackson, but your first stop was Meridian to visit the grave of James Chaney, who we spoke briefly about in our last half hour. Talk to us a little bit about this and why you had to go there.
I feel that the three civil rights workers that were murdered that summer, 1964, they were true heroes, and they have never received their just due for what they suffered, what they had gone through, what their families had suffered. And again, having seen Eyes on the Prize, having seen the funeral, the footage of the funeral of James Chaney in the cemetery, I felt that was one of the places I had to go. I had to go to his grave. And I had a book called A Traveler's Guide to the Civil Rights Movement. And that's actually how I found out exactly how to get there, because I really didn't know my way around. And so I went to Meridian, and there was a few side roads. And this cemetery is really sort of out there all by itself next to this little church. And then even his grave, James Chaney's grave, within that cemetery is by itself. Well, his grave is by itself. And I went and I saw it and felt moved, felt like I had completed something. But then also got further distressed because I saw that the gravestone had to be propped up by this huge iron contraption because it had been knocked down so many times and evidently had His brother had built this support for it, so it wouldn't, couldn't be knocked down anymore. So even in death, he was being abused and oppressed.
Now, Christine, we know that road from Meridian travels to Philadelphia, Mississippi, which is one of the places that you stopped along with your mom on this journey. Talk to us about Philadelphia, Mississippi, and what you experienced there, and just kind of going down that road that so many traveled that summer.
Sure. Well, I felt very similarly to Scott, that the story of the three civil rights workers really touched me. You know, we wanted to go to Philadelphia and see what was there. So when we went to Philadelphia, we went and saw that there's a little church that has a gravestone for the three workers in it. When we went, the grass was overgrown, the gravestone was not well taken care of. It was very, very disappointing, but also very telling, I think. And then we went to the Philadelphia Museum, which would be the town's museum. And we went all through the museum. It took more than half an hour, and it was very interesting stuff. But then at the very end of the museum, we hadn't seen anything in honor of the three civil rights workers. I asked the lady, the museum worker, and if they had anything in the museum about that, and she said no. And she also told me a story about when she was little. She was just a young child when that happened. And she lived outside of town, and she asked her what that was like, and she said that the FBI came to town, and they came out to their farm where she lived and asked her asked her father if they were hiding the three civil rights workers there. And I asked the lady, was that scary? And she paused, and she said, no, it wasn't scary, because I knew we weren't hiding those boys. So I think it was, again, I think that's very telling. It's just very more a fact that happened, but it was very disappointing that wasn't even acknowledged in the town's museum.
Now, Chris, what prompted you and your mother to take this journey?
Well, this is something that we've been talking about doing for a long time. I started reading about the civil rights movement when I was in high school and then work in the field of civil rights, but it's also a very deep personal interest for me. And my mom as well. She currently works at she's an archivist at HBCU, and so we both have this common interest. And so we talked about it for a long time. And then when we got our stimulus checks in the spring, we just decided that that's what we wanted to do. So it was a wonderful experience.
So you gave back to the economy. Good for you.
Well, we did, especially the Deep South. They probably need it, right?
Yes. Now, Scott, you also made your way to Philadelphia as well as you left Meridian. Talk to us about that journey for you as you went from Cheney's gravesite to Philadelphia, where Goodwin, Schroner, and Cheney met their untimely demise standing up for civil rights.
Yeah, I'd like to say also that first that I agree with Chris. I really had a sense of disappointment all over Mississippi looking at all these places to see that there wasn't any kind of historic marker. There wasn't more attention paid to these people and to what happened. I think that was, at the end of the trip, that was kind of the feeling I had. When I left Meridian, I took the same road that they were, the three civil rights workers were based in Meridian. That's where their headquarters were. Mm-hmm. And I took the same road that they took up to Philadelphia, and you know, that was important, I think. And when I got to Philadelphia, it was just chilling, you know, to see those places, to see the courthouse where, again, on the Eisner Prize video, it showed the courthouse, and they said, this is where the three civil rights workers were taken the night that they were killed. Before, and then they were released from there, and then they were never seen again. So for me, just being there was important. But then, ironically, there was a trial going on that day, and it was of Edgar Ray Killen, who turned out to be the mastermind behind the kidnappings and the murders in 1964. And here it was all those years later, and someone had come forward and identified him and pointed a finger, and he was put on trial for the murder of those three civil rights workers in Mississippi, in a Mississippi courtroom, which was also just amazing to be there at that time, to see this courthouse surrounded by press from all around the world, because people all around the world, I think, are interested in what happened in the American South.
We just want to remind everyone we are speaking with Scott Hartblay, Associate Social Work Professor at Elms College, and Civil Rights Attorney Christine Bischoff about their journeys on the Civil Rights Trail. And we've been talking to them about their experiences in Mississippi. Christine, I want to come to you because as we make our way from Philadelphia, we reach Money, Mississippi. It's a very important place because of the story of Emmett Till. And I know that both you and Scott experienced a lot of things in Money, Mississippi. But Christine, talk to us about your experience there with your mom. What visiting that place meant to you, and kind of retracing the places where Emmett Till spent that summer, from his home in Chicago just to spend some time with his relatives and met his demise there because of racism.
Sure, sure. And first I'd like to also, you know, Scott was saying that his feeling at the end of the trip was this feeling of kind of disappointment in the way things have been preserved, and I felt like that tremendously. And also, we started our trip in Alabama and then ended, went through Mississippi and ended in New Orleans. But it was stark contrast what had been preserved in Alabama versus Mississippi. In Alabama, it just seemed as if there had been a lot more time and money and resources in general dedicated to preserving the civil rights sites and monuments. So that was a very interesting contrast. But when we went to Money, we went to Money on a day that was very gray and dreary, and I think it just set the whole tone, because as we're driving through the Delta, we went up through Clarksdale, and Clarksdale was, you know, once a thriving town, but we went through, and it was poverty like I hadn't seen. I'm from southern West Virginia, and it's very poor there, but I'd never seen anything like this in America in Clarksdale. It was just, houses were in shambles. It was very just kind of a welcome to the Delta type of feeling. So we went on to Money, and the first time we literally drove by Money, because it's just basically a post office, and there's the store where Emmett Till allegedly whistled at the woman. But we drove past, and then someone sent us back. So the whole drive, we could, at times we would be driving 15 minutes, and we wouldn't pass another soul, another person, a car, anything. And so we get to Money, it's just, it's like a bandit. So the post office is this little trailer that's shut down. And then there's the store. And when you look at the store, you're just flooded with emotions because, I mean, first of all, you can't believe it. This has happened. There's no monument to Emmett Till. There's nothing at all to memorialize this. But then the store itself, it's falling down. It's overgrown with plants. It's in shambles. It looks like literally if something hit it with any type of force, it would just collapse. And that was, to me, Money had the greatest impact on me of any place we went the whole trip. And it was just this feeling of such sadness mixed with such disappointment that this innocent child had to be killed, and that this is what, you know, his physical legacy is, nothing. That, I mean, I know that it impacted the civil rights movement greatly, and some say it was the impetus for the movement, but the fact of what you actually see when you go there, you're speechless.
And Scott, what was your experience traveling through Money? Because you specifically went there as well on a mission to really visit, I think, what you call the little crossroads of a town to find Emmett Till's marker. Talk about your experience there.
Well, it was similar. I'd say very similar to Chris's in that. I had a hard time finding it. Money. I mean, I got to Greenville. And then from there, I just couldn't seem to find it, and ended up kind of driving on a gravel road through these agricultural fields, and finally came out on a paved road, and then I saw right in front of me the Tallahatchie River Bridge, and then I knew, because that was the bridge that I saw in the film, and that was that moved me very much. This is the river where they threw Emmett Till's body. Weighed down by the cotton gin fan. I knew all that, and then I kind of went straight and took a left and expected to see the town of Money that I had seen in the film, which was kind of this dusty little town with these old wooden buildings, just a few wooden buildings there. And Chris is right. The only thing left there is that trailer that's a post office, and then the store, and that's it. Everything else seems to have been torn down You know, you get the feeling that the people just don't want to acknowledge that anything like this ever happened. And I felt the same way. The store was just falling down. I just looked at it, and I just remember standing there for a long, long time, looking at the store and just having a sense that, you know, somebody's got to do something, or we have to do something, that they ought to turn it into a museum or some mm-hmm. sort of memorial to Emmett Till. That, you know, it just seemed a terrible, terrible waste of his life and all that had happened.
You know, you write very creatively about your experience on the Civil Rights Trail in your article, which was published in the New Social Worker in the fall 2006, My Civil Rights Journey. And you know, and looking at your article, I mean, I'm actually able to visualize what both of you are describing, but your words are very visual, Scott. You talk about money. You get no sense of what little dusty money was like on a hot summer day in 1954, and for that you'll have to rely on the black and white video. But you talk about the abandoned building that, as both you and Chris said, looked like it was minutes from falling down. Just real quickly, is your article available online? Because I think it's just so descriptive and beautifully written, and I'd certainly like to share it with our listening audience.
If you Google the New Social Worker, and then there's when you get to that site, there's a space to write in Civil Rights Journey, and that should take you there.
Okay. Now, Chris, from money, Chris, where did you and your mother travel to?
Let's see. Then we went to Oxford, to Ole Miss, to see what we could, to see the memorial for James Meredith. And this, we drove around the university for a long time, but didn't see any memorial for James Meredith. And I know, I've been told by a friend who lives in Jackson that there is a memorial. It's a very nice one, but we did not see. We were not able to see that, and we saw nothing in all of Oxford for James Meredith. But maybe Scott had more luck.
Scott, did you find something?
No, I never. I didn't go to Oxford.
Okay.
Well, one of the I think as a testament to the experience that each of you had. Had individually is that going down to Mississippi and seeing these places, and even though we are decades removed from those actual incidents, but seeing the cities and the towns and the conditions in which they're you found them, not seeing the recognition by the communities of the good and the bad that took place there really left an indelible impression. And Scott, for you, I want you to talk about for us how that trip, in a sense, transformed your perspective, transformed your life, transformed your work.
Well, it made my teaching come a little bit more alive, that I was able to tell students and tell people, yes, I'd been to that place. I'd really been there, and this is what Mississippi feels like. You know, I'd grown up in Boston, and in the 60s, Mississippi was a very frightening place to all of us, in the Northeast at least, having heard all of those stories. It was still a little bit frightening going down there, even though it's all these years later and things supposedly had changed. But I think it brought me so much closer to Emmett Till and to the civil rights workers, and actually to Mississippi in a funny sort of way. I feel very close. I don't understand why, but I feel just some sort of a connection to the state. And you know, if they ever, you know, can think about setting up memorials and museums, I'd love to be involved in that, or somehow to get them to do that. But I found that I've been doing a lot of reading just about the state of Mississippi and its history and its background, which I never expected anything like that. I also went to Jackson because I went there to see the bus terminal, the Greyhound bus terminal, where the Freedom Riders, the last stop for the Freedom Riders, and they got arrested after they got off the bus there. And that bus terminal still says Greyhound, but now it's a lawyer's office. Jackson was just a very strange place because it was totally deserted, this fairly large city, totally deserted. I did go to Medgar Evers' house. He had been shot right outside his house. He was an NAACP worker. Nothing was there at the house. You know, I had the address and everything in the street. But nearby there was a library, and there was a statue of Medgar Evers. So that was a little bit gratifying to see that.
And Chris, in the last 60 seconds or so, tell us a little bit about how this meant to you, what this trip meant to you and your mother, and how it may have changed your perspective as a civil rights attorney.
Well, I think it made it all much more real to me. I think it's very easy to get a romanticized idea of the civil rights movement, particularly for someone my age, 30 years old. I missed all of it, I think it's very easy to romanticize it, but you see, for example, Selma, Alabama, and just, it's this poor town that just once was thriving, but now there's just nothing there. It looks like the economy is suffering. Or to see Dr. King's house, parish house in Montgomery, Alabama, it's a small house where they had several children. I mean, it's very small. It just made it all much more real to me, and it made me realize, you know, that these were regular people just like us who did extraordinary things, but it kind of was inspiring in that I believe more than ever that regular people can do extraordinary things.
Real quickly, is there one place on this trip that really impacted both of you, each of you, the most? And Scott, we'll start with you.
I think the fact that there was this disappointment from lack of acknowledgement and everything, and I ended up in Memphis. I went to the place called the National Civil Rights Museum, and was really surprised by how much they had there, and felt a little bit better. And that was also that is the Lorraine Motel, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Martin Luther King was murdered, and so just being there, seeing that, and finishing up the trip there. You just tied it all together, and then again I felt, okay, someone is acknowledging this, you know, something is happening, although I do feel, I gotta say, that there should be a museum in Washington, D.C., African-American Museum in Washington, D.C., that includes the whole civil rights movement.
And Chris, real quickly before we leave?
Mine would be the opposite of Scott, where we started the trip, which was Birmingham. We went to the 16th Street Baptist Church, and it was such a moving experience, and they have a great museum there. They have the Park Preserve, Kelly Ingram Park, where you can see statues of fire hoses on children and dogs on children. It was a great way to start the trip, and a very positive. They were acknowledging their history, owing to it, but learning from it.
Well, thank you guys very much for joining us today, Scott and Chris, and we appreciate the time that you've taken to share your stories with us. And don't forget, on tonight's show, we'll be traveling to Atlantic City to visit the Civil Rights Garden there, the Black Heritage Trail in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and the Idaho Black History Museum on tonight's 6 o'clock Block Talk Radio show. You've been listening to the Traveling On Radio Show with Ian and Tanya Fitzpatrick, and we look forward to seeing you again same time next week. Until then, happy travels.
Happy travels.
Whether you're traveling by plane, train, or automobile, make travelingon.com your first stop. At travelingon.com, that's travelingon.com, you can get current travel news and information, buy the latest travel book, and find those great travel bargains. Visit travelingon.com, your premier source for all things travel. That's travelingon.com, and make sure to sign up for email specials and tune into the Travel and On radio show each week for a chance to win some great travel prizes.
Okay. All right, Scott. Thanks so much.
BrownsWorldTravel.com is the premier internet travel destination, offering you the best travel values for all your travel needs.
Okay,
not only can
Dave,
you book the basics in travel, such as flights, rental cars, and hotels, but think of us when you're planning a cruise. A complete vacation package, registering for your honeymoon, or searching for those last-minute travel deals.
Unlike the other online booking sites, BronzeWorldTravel.com does not compromise customer service. Backed by a team of seasoned travel professionals and a nationally rated agency, at BronzeWorldTravel.com there is always someone available to answer your questions. We have so many great travel deals that you'll make us your first choice when it comes to travel. Visit BronzeWorldTravel.com today and discover the best values in travel. That's B-R-O-N-Z-E WorldTravel.com. BronzeWorldTravel.com, where we celebrate life through travel.
Every hour of every day, an American is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. MS typically strikes between the ages of 16 and 50 when people are building careers and raising families. Today, there is no known cause or cure for MS. To learn more about this unpredictable disease, to volunteer, or to make a contribution to this important mission, please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. You can make a difference by helping us stop this devastating disease. Please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. Fight MS today. Thank you.